for the first ever running of the All-Star Mile, the world's richest mile race on turf, and the field is set to go. Ready to run, set at Flemington, and they're racing in the All-Star Mile. Mystic Journey over the top takes the lead. She is what dreams are made of. Mystic Journey's won the All-Star Mile at Exeter Corner. Graf moving up to Sunlight at the clock tower. Sunlight kicks from Graf, followed by Brave Smash in her time, Santa Adelaide. Still Sunlight with 100 metres to go from Graf. Brave Smash, Osborne Bulls late. It's too late. Sunlight won the new market.
The Autumn Sun. Boy, you'll have to be good to win from there. It's Fundamentalist in front from Vega Days, Nikita Jane. The Autumn Sun is lifting late. Fundamentalist in front. The Autumn Sun's really surging. The outside. Yes. Oh, what a super win. The Autumn Sun got up.
It's Hawkshot grabbed by Mystic Journey, followed by Amphitrite, Ring-a-ding-ding late. Mystic Journey with 100 to go, races away. They're roaring in Tasmania, and Mystic Journey won the guineas easily.
This is RSN 927's Racing Pulse, the heartbeat of Victorian racing. Here's Michael Belgate.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Pulse. It is Tuesday, the 19th of March. A big show coming your way today. It is the day that we see the final field for the Golden Slipper and the Barrier Draw. We'll be focusing on that after 9 o'clock. We'll be joined by James Cummings out of the 9 o'clock news, who has potentially six runners in the Golden Slipper on Saturday. And then after that, we're going to have a special form segment with two of the best form analysts in Australia who love their racing in Sydney. David Gately will be joining us, and we'll also be speaking to Ron Duffacy from Sydney as well. So if you want to have a bet and you want to try and find a winner on Saturday, Golden Slipper Day, make sure you join us after 9 o'clock. We'll also get the latest on the wet weather up there and find out how bad the track will be. But before the big Group 1 meeting on Saturday in Sydney, we've got a Group 1 meeting here as well, and it is the William Reid, and we'll have a chat to Tony McAvoy first up because his mighty filly Sunlight had a nice piece of work yesterday at the Valley and heads back there on Friday night. We'll also catch up with Ron Quinton, the Hall of Famer, who had a day out on Saturday, winning his sixth Coolmore Classic, four as a trainer now to go with the two that he rode as well. A little bit later in the program, I'm really looking forward to having a chat to a character who you may remember made a huge impact here in Australia back in 2015 when he finished second in the Caulfield Cup and also fourth in the Melbourne Cup with Trip to Paris. And I speak of blind owner Andy Gemmell, who had a great Cheltenham Festival winning with Paisley Park, a dream of his. He's a big fan of Australian racing. He's a big fan of the Tigers in the AFL, would you believe? And he's hoping to come back to Melbourne again this spring carnival. So we'll have a chat to Andy a little later in the program. So stick with us over the next hour and a half. First up, let's have a chat to Tony McAvoy.
Racing Pulse with Michael Felgate.
Morning, Tone. How are you going?
I'm very well, Michael. How are you?
Very well, mate. Counting down to seeing your fabulous filly in action again at the Valley on Friday night. And I know you took her there yesterday and you were pretty happy with the piece of work she did.
Yeah, I was, Michael. She was very good. The ground had plenty of juice in it there yesterday morning. And but look, she had a nice piece of work. I did a little more with her than I had planned because she just looked so full, and as she does. But look, she breezed around there, and Lukey Curry said she felt great. She pulled up, had a really healthy blow, and then cleaned herself up really quickly. So I think that's got her right where we needed to be for Friday night.
Yeah, she seems like she's a remarkable doer to bounce out of the Newmarket handicap, which was such a tough win, and just to continue to put on weight.
Yeah, well, look, most of the horses that I've been involved with over the years, that elite-level horses, you most of the time got them in cotton wool and nursing them and trying to get them there. And this filly, she's as tough as old boots, I tell you. She just... the tougher, the better for her.
Last time she went to the Valley, everything went wrong in the Manicato. Were you keen to get her back there just to refresh her and give her a nice experience? Can horses remember when they've had a bad experience at a track?
Look, I think they can. You know, they remember if they get interfered with badly enough or if they have a fall. They're very nervous in a field after that. And I just felt that, you know, she just didn't enjoy that race at all at the Valley that night, and you could see why by watching it. So, you know, whilst it's not under race conditions, But it certainly, if it didn't make her feel better, it made me feel better, Michael.
Yeah, well, she had absolutely no luck whatsoever on that day. Obviously, no concerns, though, with the night atmosphere and the lights?
No, look, there was some talk in some areas that the lights were at fault. But, look, I don't believe that to be the case. She just made a mistake at the start that night and was slow away. And in these big races, as soon as that happens and you're one of the favourites, you're just going to get shut out, and that's what happened to her, and she just got knocked from pillar to post from that point on.
Got Luke Curry back in action on her because she has a weight that he can ride at, so he'll be very happy to be reunited as well. Outside of the William Reid, all going well on Friday night, is the plan to head to Sydney, or what's the future hold for her?
Yeah, look, I think we will. That TJ Smith just maps beautifully for her. It's a weight for age, 1,200, big, tough contest, which she'll love. And so we'll head that way. The bulk of her form's been on the Sydney leg, as you know, so there's no problems there. And I suppose the only query I have is the weather in Sydney. We've just got to be a little bit careful and watchful of that, but we'll get her up to Sydney after this, get her on the Sydney leg again, and then make a decision as we get closer to the time.
We were going to see her very valuable younger sister today at Bendigo, Sister, but I see you've scratched her. Any reason?
Yeah, I had her in on last Friday night as well. She's overreached her heel, and it's just, it's absolutely fine, but it's very bruised, and it's just taken a while for her action to come right, so I'm not taking any risks, of course, with any of mine, but she was sort of 98%, and that's just not quite good enough. So we've waited, and I'll try and get her to Bendigo on the 30th in that Gold Rush race.
We've only seen her once, and she ran well. Does she show some of the potential that her big sister does?
Oh, yeah, she does. She does. If you remember, Melbourne Cup Day was an incredible day. She was in race one when the track was probably a heavy 12.
That's right.
It deluged just before the race. And if you get a chance to watch it, Michael, she had them all beat. She was the last one to come off the bit. But when she did come off the bit, she got bogged.
Mm.
And she just didn't handle the heavy track. And I'm not saying she won't handle heavy ground, but she'd never, ever seen it. And then it turned into a real mud lark race, that race, and then the track tidied up after that. But so I thought she ran a superb race at her first start.
All right, we'll wait for her in a couple of weeks. And just on Sunlight too, there's been a lot of talk about, last time we spoke to you, the Everest in the spring and possibly the Golden Eagle. Any movement on a slot there? Because I know that Mrs. Fung is a part owner, so have we got any movement there?
No, look, there's been interest for sure, but none of these decisions will be made. They'll be made as a group, Michael, but she's pretty attractive, I would have thought, if you're a slot holder going towards the Everest. So, look, I'm not channeling too much energy into that right at the moment. It's a long way away. We are going to the Everest, yes, and we will need a slot, and we'll just see how things unfold.
What about a little closer to home this weekend? You've got some nice runners. Desert Lashes, you're going to have a crack at the 55-second challenge on Friday night. 54.77, written choice, the time to beat.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very keen to have a crack at that, and I took her to Moonee Valley yesterday just to have a look around. She's only had the one run for me, and she ran a superb race at Moonee Valley and got beat by Ashlaw by a long neck.
Mm.
So really good, strong form. And you see what Ashlaw's done since that race. So nice to have her back there. And she's pretty quick. She won her first eight races, and she's a very fast mare. So I'm looking forward to her Friday.
And you've got a nice horse, Mayan, who was very impressive on debut as well. Will she be running on Friday night?
He's called Mayan. I know it's spelt M-A-Y, but it's Mayan. So I think they were the first civilized people, the Mayans, so they tell me.
Your history's better than mine.
Yeah, no, well, it's not that good, I can tell you. But look, he was super impressive in Adelaide, Michael, at his debut. He's a colt that I've really liked all the way through, and it was just nice to see him go to the races and put them away like he did. So a big step up coming from that to this, but he had a little look around Moonee Valley yesterday morning as well, and I'm looking forward to seeing where he sits.
And I see you got Manuel entered in the Hariba Stakes on Saturday. Will he come back to the 1200?
He will. I wanted to find a race for him to run in before I take him up to Sydney for the All Age, the 1400 Group 1. And the William Reid was the obvious race until I decided to take the stablemate there. And I just said to the ownership group of him that we shouldn't ask him to take her on. So we'll go to the Hariba. He'll get a bit of weight in it, but he's really freshening up beautifully, that horse. So he'll run really well at Mornington and then go up to Sydney for the All Age.
Oh, he's certainly had a great autumn carnival so far. Can you find us a winner today, Tony? We've got the scratching of Sister, but you've got Lassiter, who was on debut, well on the market. And you've got Scramjet, who won very well on debut in South Australia as well. Who do you think's your best today?
Yeah, look, probably Scramjet. I think he did a great job at an unsuitable distance. I ran him at 1200 and he got the job done, but he struggled at the trip, so I've gone straight to the mile. Lassiter's worked really nicely coming into this race. I think she's a filly that looks well-placed in a filly's maiden. And my other filly, Fleeting Feeling, goes very well also, and she's in a 64 race where she looks well-placed. So my three will run very well there today.
Could be a good day. And just a quick one as I say goodbye. How's Hay Doc going?
Unfortunately, Haydock needs to have some surgery now. We gave him all the time off, and I sent him down for a bone scan a week ago, and just to see where we're at. And the recommendation now is for him to have some surgery, which we've asked the ownership group to agree to, and we'll give him a chance to get back that way. But he's another 3 or 4 months, I'd say.
Oh, that's disappointing news. Tony, thanks for the update today. Good luck on Friday night with Sunlight.
Thanks for talking to me, Michael.
Dixie Blossom's one off the fence going through with El Dorado Dreamy and Mizzy working into the clear. Oregon's Day. Dixie Blossom's on the scene, and Dixie Blossom's takes the lead at the 100 and draws away from El Dorado Dreamy. And here's another Coolmore Classic for Ron Quinton. Dixie Blossom's beat El Dorado.
Oh, it's a remarkable record. 6 wins in the race, 4 as a trainer, 2 as a jockey by Ron Quinton. He's a Hall of Famer, 8-time Sydney Premier. Premiership jockey. He's ridden Kingston Town, Emancipation, won Golden Slippers, a Cox Plates, and he said that win was one of his proudest moments on a racetrack. And he joins us now. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Very well, Michael. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah, really good.
Congratulations. You are making a habit of winning this race. And why was that such a proud moment for you with this Bonnie mare on Saturday?
Yeah, well, I guess, look, she's been a wonderful mare. And she's been knocking on the door in the Group 1s for a little while now, and I was just so pleased that she finally got there and won the Group 1 because, you know, like in the Mire twice, she ran fourth in the Mire 1 year and got beat 3/4 of a length, and then to safely say that the next one, Rich got beat a half head, probably should have nearly won, you know? Mm. So, yeah, it was a very special moment that she could break through and win that Group 1 because, you know, she's on the last leg. She's sort of probably got 2 more runs and then she's going to be retired and she'll go to the stud in the spring.
Yeah, and she's going to be a super valuable broodmare. Amazingly, that was her first win at her 11th attempt at Rose Hill.
Yeah, quite amazing. Alan, the owner, kept... you know, during a period of time, kept saying, you know, Rose Hill. I said, look, there's nothing wrong with Rose Hill. She's been just one of those things. She's been a bit unlucky there a couple of times. So the last couple of preparations, I got her ready first up to win at Randwick. So she's done that twice. And this time, first up, she ran second, and then come on and won the Coolmore. But yeah, it's a bit of a thing that, you know, was just nothing to do with Rose Hill as far as I was concerned, but anyway, she's got a pretty imposing record now.
Well, she certainly does, and she revelled in the wet conditions. She won easily.
Yeah, she loves a bit of soft ground. She won at Randwick one day by a big space on heavy ground. So, she really loves it, you know.
It's quite phenomenal that you've got two mares the calibre of Dixie Blossoms and Daisy Doom in the stable at the same time, and that you have been able to prepare so well.
It's quite amazing, really. But, same age. Went back through the records the other day, and they came, the first time they come into the stables, 2 days apart. You would not believe it, you know. And they've been there, and it's been a long journey with them. And, there'll be a big gap in the stable, I can assure you of that.
God, yeah. Are they mates?
Yeah, look, they go to the walking machine every afternoon and every morning together in a double. And one has never, ever attempted to kick each other or anything like that. They're stable one box apart, but, they're just two very happy mares.
Oh, absolutely. And what's the future? You said she's got two starts left, Dixie, and I see she's still in the noms for the Doncaster. Is that going to be one of the starts?
We've got to make that decision shortly. She can either go to the Emancipation Stakes, which is a fortnight from last Saturday, where she would clash with Daisy, or we could wait 3 weeks, go to the Doncaster. But then the only problem with that, she would have to back up a week later into the Coolmore Legacy, which is the last Group 1 of the year. Mm. And, I'm a bit hesitant to want to have her back her up, but... that's something we've got to figure out the next this week probably. And she got a kilo and a half penalty for the Doncaster for winning Saturday, which was fair enough.
And what about Daisy Doom then? You scratched her on Saturday because of the wide barrier and the wet track. Where do we see her next? And how much longer has she got to race?
Same. Exactly yep. The same. It'd be funny if they went to the same stadium, wouldn't it? But no, Daisy will be the same. She'll go off to stud in the spring. She missed Saturday because of the very bad draw. And she'll have a 1,200-metre barrier trial on Friday in preparation for the Emancipation. So she'll be very fit to, although it's been a gap between runs, it won't matter because she keeps herself pretty fit.
You mentioned it'll be a big gap. It'll be a big gap for any trainer to lose two Group 1 star mares like that. But how is the rest of the stable looking, Ron?
Yeah, no, not too bad. I've got a very, very nice 2-year-old filly there, which I think she can probably come forward. She's only a maiden, but she could probably come forward and be pretty good. She had a trial the other day, and trial really lovely. And
what's her name?
Our girl Snitty. She's by Snitchell. Yeah, I got an O'Reilly filly owned by the same interest as Dixie. She's a 3-year-old, and she's pretty promising. She's only had one start and got narrowly beaten on a heavy track. And I had that 2-year-old that won at Randwick on the Kenzo track, and he had had that start and then run in the Skyline, run okay, but he wasn't going to beat all these Golden Slipper horses, so we turned him out, and he's a pretty promising horse called Sunpatch. So, yeah, we've got a few there that are coming up through the ranks, but I guess in the NSW you have more slow ones than fast ones.
Well, mate, enjoy the next two starts of both Dixie Blossoms and Daisy Doom. You've done an unbelievable job with both of them, and well done on another Group 1 on Saturday, Ron.
No, fantastic. Thank you very much.
And we're going to have a chat to Chris right now. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good morning, mate. How are you?
Very well, very well.
That's fine.
Can't wait to speak to you about what your 2-year-old is going to be doing. We think the final field is going to be around about 19 with 3 emergencies. Now, free of debt, you've done an unbelievable job with this galloper. Has it always been the plan to get to Sydney and go into the slipper first up?
No, well, firstly, thank you. No, we've... got a very good team behind me, so I've got to thank all them as well. But look, Golden Slipper was never on the radar whatsoever. Obviously, his first two wins were very impressive, and the Flemington win obviously caught the eye of the guys from Aquas Farms, and Shane McGrath and Bruce Clark contacted, and that's when those guys got involved. So from that day, the Blue Diamond dream become real, and hence the reason why we got through to the Diamond like we did, and Aquas were, you know, very good to us and paid the late nomination fee. And when he come out, ran third and his first colt over the line, you know, Shane just said to me, you know, if he pulls up well, why wouldn't we have a crack at it? You're only two once, and couldn't agree more with him. So we've really looked after him, and travelled up to Sydney a week and a half ago, and got up here in great order and walked straight off the truck like he was back at home in Adelaide, and done everything perfectly.
Gee, he was huge in the Blue Diamond as well, because he's a bit wayward. Do you think he's learnt much from that, and how does he go the Sydney way of going?
Look, we've had a lot of exposure to the Sydney way back in Adelaide, pretty well from December when he started, you know, his racing career. We've been working the reverse direction on the course proper on Saturdays just to protect the straight at Morfordville. And look, he's every time Jake Toe wrote with Gallop in that direction, he goes, actually, scary enough, I think he actually goes better the Sydney way. So we got him up to, after the Blue Diamond, he went out for 10 days and went back into Caulfield. And lucky enough, the MRC granted us permission to gallop the reverse way on the grass there, and Michael Walker galloped him, and he agreed exactly what Jake had said. He feels better and more comfortable on that Sydney leg. So that was all pleasing, and got up here, and Dwayne Dunn gave him a trial at Randwick last Thursday, and not just to go the Sydney way, but also to see how he went going through the softer ground, and ticked all the boxes, got through the ground well. He sat wide and just travelled into the straight and really motored away and got through the ground. So we're really happy and really excited.
Well, it's a heavy nine at the moment, and we've got word from Lindsay Murphy that the rest of the week is meant to be okay, and they're hopeful of it maybe getting into a soft seven range. Are you confident if it is in the soft or the heavy range that Freadette will be able to get through it without any issues?
Yeah, definitely. No, if it's a soft seven, I'd be very, very happy, but if it deteriorates and it's heavier than that, well, you know, I'm pretty confident he's going to get through it. And you know, I've got the fresh legs in the field, I believe. We haven't had to do a lot. We've paid the late nomination fee, so he's, you know, very lightly raced, only having the three runs going into it. And I've been, like, big gaps between them, 4 and 5 weeks between all these runs. So, we're the fresh legs on the scene, and I think that'll go a long way on the heavy ground.
How did he start $31 on debut?
I don't know. he tried enormous at Morfordville only 10 days prior, and did everything right. We were really confident, and you know, I guess it's one of those things in a small two-horse race. In a small two-year-old race at Morfordville, everyone's got an opinion of their horses. And, you know, I don't consider myself a small trainer, but only a medium-sized trainer back in Adelaide. And you're taking on the likes of, you know, I guess, Weary at the time, Hayes. You know, there's that support and confidence in those bigger stables. But, you know, I think we do a really good job with our two-year-olds and always have a handy two-year-old going around. So I don't know why he's 31, but he was. And, bookies paid the price.
Is this life-changing potentially for you?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a bit of an incentive and an additional sum of money involved if we happen to win a Golden Slipper through Aquas Farms, the deal that we did when they initially purchased into the horse. So that alone is absolute life-changer for myself and the owners. At the end of the day, we're probably already, you know, we're halfway there, really. We've got a colt that's placed in a Group 1, and, you know, we paid nothing for him, really, $30,000 yearling.
$30,000, wow.
He's already won $250,000, plus the purchase price we've already banked, and we're still, I believe we're a red-hot chance in a slipper on Saturday.
Who's got the onerous task of drawing the barrier today, and what would you like?
So I just walked into the room, and I've been told it's me that's got to go up. I chose 6 at the Diamond, so I'm backing myself to draw something decent. But I haven't given it a huge amount of thought. I think anywhere just sort of 6 to 11 would suit me, to be honest. Give the horse an opportunity, just get a little bit of cover behind the early leaders, and finish off well, which is how I believe he's best ridden. Fingers crossed I can pull the right one.
Looks an open addition. You confident he's good enough to win a slipper?
Yeah, I am. Yep. And I know it's probably silly for me to say that. I've never even had a runner in it, but The horse couldn't be done any better. He's really pleasing me. Alexia travelled up with him, girl that works for me, and every day she rides him, she goes, he just feels better and better in himself, and she's ridden him from day one back in Adelaide, and Jake's always galloped him. So those two have, big thanks to those guys, and really, they, they're the ones that can only tell me how he's going, and all roads say he's going really well.
Well, mate, good luck today at the Barrier Draw and on Saturday. It's one of the fairy tale stories of this year's Golden Slipper, and you'll have a lot of people cheering you home.
Thank you very much, mate.
Racing Pulse on RSN 927.
Welcome back to Racing Pulse. Time now to have a look at the huge Golden Slipper meeting on Saturday. Five Group 1s. The final field for the Golden Slipper has just come across my desk, and I'll read that out in a moment. And we're going to get two of the smartest men to talk about it and dissect it. I speak of David Gately and also Ron Duffersey. But firstly, to David Gately, great to have you on, mate. And you got some big news, because in the last few hours, we've had confirmation of a huge decision by yourself and a huge change of direction, because you are leaving racing.com, and in a huge coup for Sky Racing, you are joining the Sky Racing team. Congratulations on the new gig.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. It wasn't a decision made easily or quickly or lightly, obviously. Had so much love and respect for everyone at racing.com through previous management, and the opportunities they've given me is something I'll never forget. But, sometimes, it's time for change, and, I see some really exciting opportunities at a company that, I've looked up to since, I think the inception was 1985. I still remember the ads for Sky Channel and Racing coming into my lounge room, and thought one day I'd love to work for them. So that's come to fruition, and I'm really excited.
Well, it's a perfect fit for you, because you love your Sydney racing as much as you do Melbourne racing as well, and it gives you the opportunity to expand your horizon for punters around Australia on both codes or both races in New South Wales and Victoria.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, I've said ad nauseum, I don't have any interstate rivalry in my head. It's just horse racing, and I love Melbourne racing and love Sydney racing equally, and the borders are, I think, diminishing, aren't they, with so much easy transport for racing and interstate. It won't at this stage stop anything with, obviously, Oz Racing, which I love, RSM, which I'm loving, and Best Bets, which is obviously still, I think, really highly respected brand there. So I'll have a few hats, mate, but a lot of fun. Looking forward to it.
Oh, we can't wait to continue the association with you on RSN 927. And gee whiz, talk about strength when we talk about form analysts on Sky now. You've got David Gately, you've got Dean Lester, and you've got the King of Sydney, Ron Duffersey, who joins us. How are you, Duff?
Yeah, g'day, Michael. That's a good intro, but we're going to welcome Gator with open arms here at Sky. You know, he's got the versatility of a Tony Brazel and the brain of a Dean Lester or a Mark Hunter, all the people we look up to, and he'll fit in just fine.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no better way to kick off your Sky Racing career than finding the winner of the Golden Super, which is what you two gents are going to have to try and do today. And gee whiz, it looks like one of the most open editions we have ever seen. The final field has just been confirmed, a field of 16 with two emergencies. Yes, 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 Microphone, Time to Rain, Free of Debt, Cosmic Force, Dubious, Liar, Lankenstar, Tenley, Pinsec, Anaheed, Kiamachi, Catch Me, Vincere Valer, Exhilarates, Loving Gabby, squeezing into the field, Bivouac, first emergency, Rome, the second emergency. Now, I do note that there were vet inspections yesterday, and Lankenstar was found to be slightly restricted in its action in the front and will also undergo another stable vet inspection as well. But, Ron, firstly to you, overall, is this one of the most open slippers you can remember?
Oh, look, no doubt at all, Michael. It's the depth in the race. I think we've got six colts there and 10 fillies, and just considering the weather the last week or so, it's just thrown it wide open. You know, the recent runs could well be gold, where we weren't considering the week before form. It seems to be a rush to get into the race. But now, with these little scattered showers around, we could be working with a heavy 10, and they'll come into play.
And how important does that make today's barrier draw, do you think?
I don't know. Obviously, the barrier draw is important, and you get some statisticians telling you that, since 2003, other than Vancouver, the winner's been on the rail at some stage. So that's an interesting stat. So, you know, whether that's horses dragging it back to last from wide draws and then easing out, but at some stage in the race, they say, the slipper winner has been on the rail.
Mm. Gator, do you think a potential heavy track makes it easier to try and find the winner or tougher?
Probably the latter, unless you're in the corner of Cosmic Force, who just went to a whole new level, didn't he, on significantly rain-affected ground on Saturday. A quick turnaround for a young athlete on that sort of ground is probably some little query, but it was not like it was an extremely hard win. He looked pretty soft all the way to the line, and look, I'm with Duff there. He wasn't on my radar 7 days ago, and all of a sudden he's now given. We're likely to have some significantly rain-affected track there.
Well, we won't go through them all runner by runner, but we will talk about the major players. And number one is Yes, Yes, Yes. G was simply stunning last start. He only recently joined the Chris Wallace stable. And Gator, we've been talking about this galloper for a while, and in the end, it may have been a blessing in disguise that he didn't make it to the Magic Millions. How impressed were you with his last start win, and does he deserve to be favourite in your mind?
Look, I think he deserves to be on the podium. The win was exceptional. They went back to last. I think straight away, I'm watching the race live and I'm thinking, all right, this is not their grand final. But he just moved into the race beautifully. He's 33.3 last 600, then 11.32. So he was about 6.7 lengths above averages last 600, overall time 6.5 lengths. On the day, race rated extremely similarly to Ten Lee, who has been brilliant in her recent wins. And when they're so strong, the last 100, which she's been in her last two runs, it's difficult to ignore. And again, the time, she was 7 lengths above average in her win, and home 11.16, so the quickest of any two-year-old that day. So lining those two up, look, I'm thinking that's the A form, but when I, you know, A-plus form, say, and lining those two up, Yes, Yes, Yes probably has more scope, but Tenley's win was brilliant as well.
What are your thoughts on those two, Duff? Because they were outstanding performances that day.
Yeah, very similar. Although the filly run better figures, I think that Yes, Yes, Yes sets up better. That was his first run for the year. Mm. He'd had a trial on a soft seven, I think it was Feb 25, and then he went to that race. And what I liked about the win, when he's back last there, minding his own business, you think, oh, he's got work to do. But within four strides, you knew he was going to win that race. So there's something about this horse, and I know there's only improvement to come, and I'd be very hot on him as far as if the track was not bottomless, put it that way, because that's the uncertainty of racing.
What about his racing style? He tends to get back. Is that on a wet track going to be less of an issue, do you think?
Yeah, look, I think he was dragged. He could have been close the other day. He was Chris Waller wide draws negative. Chris Waller inside draws positive is usually the theory. So where he positions in the run will all depend on his draw. So I would suggest a horse like him, the draw is important.
Microphone's another horse that we've seen down here in Melbourne, and he went to another level last start when he went back to Sydney. James Cummings, incredible. 6 runners in the race, including the first emergency, and ironically, he may not even have the best horse, Tassort, the two-year-old that he's got there, and this horse seems to have just improved out of sight. Duff, what's your rating on Microphone?
Well, he won me the other day when he beat Cosmic Force in the Skyline. Calcavecchio was a big rap on that horse going into that race as well. And the masterstroke here may be not paying up with Microphone for the Blue Diamond. They've probably identified him as a slipper horse after that, and it could all come to fruition. Another horse, no soft form, but there's no holes in his form, really, I wouldn't think.
Gator, you concur?
Absolutely. He's strung a couple of extremely high-rating wins together. Obviously, the Flemington one, okay, he was in the fast lane, but it was a sizzling gallop, a 1-2 and change, and then heads to Sydney, runs about, ran out, but won well, beat Cosmic Force, he's seen win like Farlap. Race rated significantly better than Anaheed on the day. Anaheed won the Sweet Embrace, then went to the Riesling and was wide, albeit, but safely held by Ten Lee. So it's easy to make a very strong winning case for Microphone, no doubt.
We have a bit of fun over the borders, as you know, Duff, about SF and MF, the Sydney form v Melbourne form. Which do you think strongest heading into this slipper?
I don't know. I'm saying it's 50-50. This, I think the MF form is very, very well, likeable, put it that way. If we're going to call
it. Was that hard to say?
Yes, it was very hard to spit out, I must say. But what are we talking about? We're talking a microphone, Melbourne form. He was educated in Sydney, and yes, is now a Sydney sider. But anyway, we're clutching at straws.
Well, what about Lyre then? That blue diamond form that we're talking about. How do you rate that, Duff?
It's got to be rated. I loved the trial. I thought, out of the four Golden Slipper horses to trial last week here, she was the one that captured my attention. She seemed to get on the right leg, and when he did sneeze on her the last 100 metres, I loved the way she run through the line. So I think that although it's very hard to do as far as the Blue Diamond wet track 3 weeks between runs now, and although she has had the trial, Anthony wouldn't bring her unless he was happy with her. So I think she's somewhere in the mix, but I would have liked to 2 weeks before, considering the circumstances we've got here, a run 2 weeks before.
Where do you rate her, Duff? And a horse like Loving Gabby, who was arguably unlucky and could even have more upside than a horse like Lyre, but we haven't seen her since.
Yeah, that's strange, isn't it? I would have thought Loving Gabby had a trial here the other day, and I would have rather have seen her trial over the 1,050 like Lyre did rather than the 750 metres, but give her the run that Lyre had in the Blue Diamond, it could have been a different result. So I think she's outstanding. Whether it's all too soon for a filly like her, I'm not sure, but it just smells to me like a little bit of a setback since the Blue Diamond.
Mm. What do you think, Gator?
Look, I think she's the one with the most upside as it stands, and that puts her right in the race. I mean, because we won't know her ceiling until after the event, you know, and then all the ratings people tell you how great it was, but we've missed the $13. I think she's top five for me. I really liked the trial. It was in quick time, seemed to get through the ground, and just that the fact that she's still so raw, I mean, she could find easily those two lengths she needs off the diamond. And as you say, arguably, you know, swap the runs and she's the one that's, you know, with the ribbon around her neck at the end of that race. And the race rated well this year, the Blue Diamond, so that's noteworthy also.
Well, we just spoke to Chris B. Could there be a fairy tale blowout? It's $34 free of debt, and he was big in the Blue Diamond.
He was the best on pacer in a run-ons race. They were quick early, first 600 set up for the run-ons. And he was there swinging at the end, and the first male home out of all those fillies who were really rating significantly higher than the boys leading into that race. So if he improves again like he did into this, then he's well over the odds.
Another one I think's over the odds, Duff, was Pinset. Currently $26. It was enormous in the Black Oval.
To the eye, she was enormous. They did put it on for her. A couple of those leaders got at each other a little bit early. She had a perfect sit. Another one of the dangers in the race, got a stumble at the start there, so every possible thing went right for her. I don't think the figures were strong as far as the day was concerned, but I'm not going to sit back here and bag a horse that's two from two, but I just think she has to improve.
What do you think, Gator, on Pinsec?
Yeah, look, I needed to see a little more merit on the clock. I loved what I saw to the eye, zoomed the last 100, which we love seeing, and how often those horses progress. You know, it's probably 99 out of 100. However, yeah, just wanted to see a little bit more substance on the clock to have that horse top five.
What do we think about Time to Rain, especially on a wet track? It's out to $15 now.
He's had a busy schedule, hasn't he? And he's got touches of brilliance there. You would have thought after the Silver Slipper, wow, here's your winner. He is off seven. And then he went to the Todman and yes, just made him look second rate there. So I don't know what to think of him.
I think the wet might help. You know, obviously it was a dry track last time. He was below his best. But it wasn't a sepoy beat, a defeat. It was a more significant defeat than that.
He's gone better when there's a lot of pressure on. Maybe yeah, they'll ride him more aggressively.
Speaking of wet track performances, we haven't seen a better one than Cosmic Force. Do you think, Duff, he could start favourite on Saturday?
All depends if we do get another. Yeah. You know, this track's between, I'd say, a 6 and a 10. So if we're 8, 9 or 10, there's a big chance he'll run favourite.
And the performance on Saturday, on a heavy 10, how difficult is it for a two-year-old to back up 7 days and do that again?
Well, they're all individuals. And he looks a tough nut, and he's pulled up. He's beautiful in the wind, just looking at him coming back there. So I don't know. So, you know, we don't know because there's no evidence on the board about him backing up in the past, especially off a tough run. But I'm a great fan. I know some horses can feel the effects, but I'm a great fan on very heavy tracks that backups are gold.
What do you think, Gator? What I know it was a heavy 10, but how did that performance rate on Saturday?
Extremely highly. I know the track was on the improve. It was still a heavy 10 at race 4. But there was a strong speed, set 3 wide on it. There were 2 lengths above average early. The overall figure's about 8 lengths above average, so went a couple of lengths better than Kiyomichi, who ran, admittedly, 40 minutes earlier on that improving track. So, look, I've said a million times, relative times on wet tracks can be very treacherous, but on the figures and the style of the win and the margin, you would be foolish to say he couldn't win the race, especially if the track has some give. And I think Duff's point's perfect. You know, often we fall into these set rules. Every single athlete is different, and that's the same for humans and horses, and I'd imagine any species. But we just don't have a precedent on this horse yet, so he has to go in.
The other one that's in the market, and it's probably been a little bit forgotten since its last start, where we may have expected a little bit more, is the Magic Millions winner, Exhilarates. Where do you rate her, Duff?
I don't know. I was thinking the Magic Millions form was no good, and then I was thinking the Blue Diamond form was no good. There's a rough hope the Sydney form's no good. So I don't know what to think. I will say Dubious is one of these horses that I don't know whether he was going to be good enough, but he is tough enough. He's one of the toughest horses I've seen as far as this two-year-old bunch is concerned. I don't see any gear change there with Blinkers, which he carried in the trial, but they've still got a little time to work, the 24 hours to put them on him. If there's a sleeper in the race, I think it could be Dubious.
Currently a $17 pop. How do you rate Exhilarates in that Magic Millions form, Gator?
Oh, look, coming out of the race and the Magic Millions, I wasn't saying here's a couple of slipper, here's the slipper trifecta or anything, but they've since run well, haven't they? Exhilarates had the gap between runs into the Riesling. That Tenley was too good for her late. But as just stated, she had the gap between and probably had more upside. On the line, she was quite strong. Her figures home were very good also. 33.8, 11.5. Overall time was very fast. So if you're giving Tenley a chance, she must have a case. Dubious was sound behind Yes, Yes, Yes. I'd assume that Yes, Yes, Yes beats that horse home again, though, off the Todman runs.
Darren Flindell's going to have his work cut out for him because they get off at home. He's got 6 in the field, maybe 7 with Bivouac, the first emergency. Of James Cummings' 5 runners that are currently in the field, rate your top 2 or 3, Gator.
So Tenley, narrowly from microphone, I would say I think Bivouac is some heart-ridden colder if they get in at a big price. But they're my top 2 from that stable, mate.
How would you go with the Godolphin and James Cummings runners, Duff?
Exactly the same. I think the best colt's microphone, the best filly's Tenley. It'll all come down to pressure, pattern of the day, and where they draw.
Well, there's no barrier draw, so I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'll say give us 3 or 4 that you're pretty keen on at this point in time, halfway through the week, knowing that track conditions can change and the barriers haven't been drawn. Duff, you can kick us off.
Yeah, look, in saying it's one of the widest slippers I've started, looked at in a long, long time, I'm still with the market. I'm sort of Yes, 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 microphone Tenley, and obviously Cosmic Force. So I'm all over the marketplace there. In saying that, it is a wide race. You could go down the page and make a case, as we have this morning, the 10 or 12 horses.
Have we left any out that we should have mentioned?
Oh, we have, but, how long's a piece of string?
What about you, Gator?
Look, as it stands today, if you gave me a deadline of 1 minute, which it seems like you have, I'd go Tenley, Yes, 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 microphone, and Loving Gabby, given her upside. Asterisk on that, barrier draw, heavy track, I'd include Cosmic Force, absolutely. But I think that's about where I'm thinking. It's my radar, yep.
And just as a generality, before the barrier draw, would you prefer to draw in or out, Gator?
Well, obviously the selections need to be made well and truly before the race. I would be surprised if they weren't, edging off the inside. But, Duff's point about history is a brilliant one. When there's not a lot between a lot of athletes, who's going to save a bit of ground and get the right run could well be the difference in a game of inches. So short answer, depends on the horse, but I'd probably prefer to draw off the inside, but still a single figures. How's that?
It's going to be one of the best race days we've seen. Duff, we've got the Golden Slipper, five Group 1s. We've also got the Mighty Mare Winks. We've got the Autumn Sun as well. How will Saturday rate for you as a racing fan, as well as someone who's going to be there working for Sky?
Oh, right up there. When you've got Winks there, that's your starting point. Then you've got a Golden Slipper, and we haven't even mentioned a Jewel Everest winner there in Red Zell, who's going to be turning up as well. So a fantastic day's racing.
Have you got an early one from Saturday?
Not really. Look, there's dual nominations there. I could tip you something, and then comes when I do the form, I'd be tipping something to beat it. So stay tuned.
We will. We'll be watching you on Sky, and we'll also be watching David Gately on Sky with the announcement this morning that Gator is joining the Sky team. Gents, thanks for your time this morning. We'll look forward to the build-up to the Golden Slipper Day on Saturday.
Good luck, guys.
Been a pleasure.
And David, congratulations once again. David Gately, the big news this morning, which has just been broken, is that David Gately, after a lot of thought, is leaving racing.com and he is joining the team at Sky. It's a blow for .com, but it is a coup for Sky Racing. The good news is that David Gately will continue to be heard regularly here on RSN 927. Well, we've been looking at the Golden Slipper, and one of the most remarkable performances is by trainer James Cummings, who has five in the field and a first emergency for the Slipper on Saturday. He joins us now. James, firstly, congratulations on getting five and an emergency in the Golden Slipper. Quite unbelievable.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. The guys have done a great job. They have in good shape and to have produced an outstanding season so far with them.
And you may have got the best one not even there, might be sitting back in the paddock. It looks an open race this year, doesn't it? What's the wet track mean for you and your runners, do you think, on Saturday?
Well, it's certainly going to require the horses with the right amount of grounding for the race. And from that perspective, we're quite satisfied that ours have got that. Only one of our horses is arriving there second up, which is Pin Sec, but she was just too strong at 6 furlongs fresh up in Canberra. She was too good on rain-affected tracks in her trials and track work, and she was too determined, I think, in her debut when she won it at Randwick, showing the sort of toughness beyond her years to prevail from an impossible position that day and a wide barrier to count out in the testing conditions of a heavy track at Rose Hill. So I'm pleased from that perspective, but I'm cautious just the same like anyone else heading in.
Who do you think's your best wet tracker?
I'd probably say that not a struck match between Pin Sec and Exhilarates, but enthused by the way they all let down on the rain-affected going this morning. For sure.
Well, that's interesting because Microphone and Tenley, you would say, on form are probably the two prominent chances. And do you think that they will handle a wet surface?
Well, and you know what? That's even leaving out that filly that won the Magic Night so impressively on Saturday.
Well, that's
key image.
Think are your best. We should do it that way.
and she has a great action for getting through it. But, you know, at the end of it, we can't just boil down to worrying about their track too much because these horses arrive there. They're all stakes winners, and they've got a great future. They've got a great future anyway. I think the fillies are quite mature. And the colts have got plenty more growing up to do. But the bottom line is, it might come down more to the run they have in transit than the ability only that they have to handle the track. So that's going to be a pretty important factor this morning as to where they draw and how fast they jump.
There's no doubt about that. Who do you think's the best two-year-old that you will settle up in the race?
Oh, look, I wouldn't be able to strike a match between about four of them. So I'm no good to you on that level. I'm pretty lucky to have these horses. Be like asking you who your favourite child is. You just can't do it, Michael.
What would it mean for you to win a slipper for
Godolphin? Who do you think my best horse is?
Well, I think Tenley, just a breath in front of Microphone, but I've got no idea compared to you. So, and the track's got me ultra confused, and that's before the barrier draw as well. What would it mean for you to win a slipper for Godolphin?
Sometimes you can be a little bit too close to the action to not have the objectivity that you're lucky enough to have. So I certainly respect your opinion.
Well, you may be one of the few out there that do. Outside of the slipper, it could be a huge day for the stable as well, because we get to see so many nice horses. Is Avilius going to run in the Randvet?
Look, I'm leaning towards wanting to run that horse in the Randvet. I was pleased with the horse's recovery from the Australian Cup, and you know his wet track form is very good, and the horse's horse was strong in the piece of work this morning, so I'll give it a little bit more thought throughout the rest of the day. But I've booked a jockey, and we could head that way, confident that the horse is capable of running well.
And Encryption, does he go around in the Galaxy?
I'm going to run that horse in the Galaxy, and I think he's going to run a very good race.
Yeah, he was very, very good in the Newmarket. A bit of news too, James, that we saw the end of Kementari. He's off to stud. Gee, he was a horse that has so much class. He won the Group 1, and he looks like he's got a stallion written all over him.
Yeah, he was a slashing winner of the Randwick Guineas when you think back 12 months ago that Timeform rated him a couple of points better than the Autumn Sun. Interestingly, in winning that race effortlessly, eased down to the line, Kementari actually ran exactly the same time to the 100th of a second as the Autumn Sun did in winning the Randwick Guineas just a couple of weeks ago. He's been consistent in many other Group 1s, top three finishes in eight of them. So he's a very valuable addition to the roster. A good-looking colt, and will be sadly missed in the racing barn from seeing him looking good in all the gallops and in all the preparations to the Group 1 after Group 1 that we've run him in since the Randwick Guineas win.
Well, we're going to see his progeny on the track, no doubt, to the fore. James, I know you've got a very busy morning. I appreciate your time this morning. Good luck with the barrier draw in the lead-up to the slipper on Saturday.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. Cheers.
James Cummings, head trainer of Godolphin, who are gang-tackling the Golden Slipper on Saturday.
Paisley Park is really getting going now. He moves down towards the last flight. He's taken it up. Aidan Coleman produces Paisley Park to lead at the final flight of hurdles to Sam Spinner. Paisley Park, that wasn't clever. He only landed by a neck. He's given Sam Spinner another chance. Bob Pope is running on. Now again he gets going. Paisley Park has moved on by two lengths with Aidan Coleman. He's won all his races this season. Now he's won the Sun Racing Stayers Hurdle. Sam Spinner was second for Enid.
Oh, what a moment that was for Andy Gemmell, because Paisley Park, he started a short price favourite, and he produced the win after 46 years since his first visit to the Cheltenham Festival. He has now a big winner there of the Stayers Hurdle Triumph. And he's a man we know here in Victoria and Melbourne through the deeds of Trip to Paris. He ran so well in the 2015 Cups. And it's great to have a chat to Andy Gemmell from the UK. How are you, Andy?
Nice to catch up with you again, Michael.
Congratulations on the win. I've seen some really amazing footage that was put up on Twitter of you there in the middle of the mounting yard with all your mates around you listening to Paisley Park get the win. What was it like?
It's absolutely fantastic. It's the best day of my life. I couldn't believe that. I really couldn't.
Now, you're blind from birth and your love of racing is very well known, but what's it like when you're in the middle of Cheltenham with 70,000 people yelling and screaming to try and understand and get a concept of how your horse is going?
Well, it was quite difficult after the last, I must say, and there was a lot of noise going on around me then, but I still managed to hear it all, and it was just fantastic. And, you know, slapping me on the back, getting really excited, and I just loved it.
How good's this horse, Paisley Park?
Well, he seems really good. I mean, considering he was almost at death's door 2 years ago, he's come back, he's been unbeaten this year, and he's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he could have at least a couple more years of this. Well, he's only 7 years old, which is pretty young for a Grade 1 winner over here. Mm.
Well, and there's a Melbourne connection too, because he's trained by Emma Lavelle, who is the sister of Alex Lavelle, who is the editor of the Age newspaper here in Melbourne.
Absolutely. It's great to see Alex come over, especially for the week, to watch it as well.
Oh, that is absolutely brilliant. Now, we spoke about this in 2015, but for the listeners who may not be aware, where did your love of horses and horse racing come from?
I think it was just I was very much into all the sport on the radio to start with, and then the racing, just I used to listen. attention to all of it. And then, obviously, I started to put my few bets on, and my interest became more and more. And my parents used to take me to various big festivals in York in the summer and Cheltenham, and I just got more and more into it and love it.
And I suppose a lot of people might find it hard to comprehend how, if you can't see anything, you can't see your horses, how you can be so passionate about it. But to you, it doesn't make any difference. You just love it so much.
Absolutely. It's just fantastic. And at least with the racing, for me, I'm at the sport. Like, you can hear the commentary, hear the tannoy. I've also been down by the rails when you hear the hooves, you know, thundering by. It's brilliant.
Now, you're a sports freak, aren't you? You love all sports. You travel around the world to the biggest sporting occasions, including here to Melbourne for the Melbourne Cup. How many times have you been to Australia?
I've been to Australia 20 times. I've done 10 Melbourne Cups, and my first Ashes tour was 82, 83. So I've been about 30 times in total to Australia. So I've got some really good mates over there now. And they always love coming back.
And is it true that you're a mad Richmond Tigers supporter as well?
Yes, I'm hoping to come out a little bit earlier this year, so they can see, hopefully they can get the flag again this year.
How did you get involved with the Tigers?
Oh, through another mate of mine. I had quite a few Australian friends in the mid-90s in London, and he was the first one to get to me to get me a team, and I've supported Richmond ever since then, so it's been great.
Oh, there you go. Tigerland, a fighting Well, I'm a mad tiger as well, so you're in very, very good company, Andy, and hopefully you can make a trip out here in September to watch the Mighty Tigers in the grand final before the Spring Carnival. And speaking of the Spring Carnival, I know you're very good mates with Terry Henderson, and you've got a few horses that you're hoping to make it to the Spring, and you actually had a good runner at Flemington on Saturday. You're part owner of Dark Pearl, who ran second.
Yeah, Dark Pearl, I thought it would be fantastic. We worked with Cheltenham and then that as well. But yes, he ran a great race. And, well, there's every possibility. I hope he just make it. It'd be fantastic to have some interest, because I really enjoyed it so much with trip to Paris. And then, of course, I was also involved with the High Kid with Liberon, who was 8. Mm. But, but I'd love to see Dark Pearl do well for OTI and for Terry. It'd be brilliant.
And you've got to share in Fast Knit Tempest as well?
Yeah, he was my first ever involvement with OTI when he won the Victoria Cup at Ascot. And yes, and hopefully he'll do well as well.
So are you planning to come back for the spring? Have you got any international horses who may be heading out here, like we got to see with Trip to Paris?
No, I would be surprised this year. I'll be very surprised. I don't think so, but hopefully I'll be out there for the Dark Pearl, and also for Fast Knit Tempest might be going around again, so it should be great.
Well, you're an absolute marvel, and the story is amazing. Just quickly, tell us some of the major sporting events that you've witnessed over the last few years.
Well, I was at the London Olympics for the second of the Mo Farah gold medals. I was at the Joshua Klitschko fight. I've been to about 5 Australian Opens now, the tennis men's finals, and lots of cricket, test cricket, and football against the West Ham regularly. So, I've been to lots of great sporting events.
And you get as much enjoyment out of them by just listening to these events as well.
Oh, yeah, well, with the cricket, I've got the earphone and the radio, and I've got a mate who commentates to me at the football, and, yeah, it's really good.
Well, Andy, congratulations on the win at Cheltenham. I know it's been a lifelong dream of yours, and after 46 years, you managed to get one of the big ones, the Stayers Hurdle with Paisley Park. And good luck for the remainder of the season, especially with your mighty West Ham as well. How are they travelling at the moment?
Mid-table, at least for a change. We're not looking at relegation this season.
Well, we look forward to seeing you out here in the Spring Carnival. Well done again, Andy, and I believe you're a big fan of RSN 927 as well.
I'm a regular listener to the Racing Pulse when I'm at home, yes.
Oh, that is good to hear. And you like Johnny Bowden, our newsreader?
I'm used to hearing John J. Bowden reading the news, that's right.
Good on you, Andy. Great to chat.
Fantastic, Michael. Look forward to seeing you in the spring.
Absolutely. Andy Gemmell there, who is an absolute ripper. What he's been through and what he's done with his life, it is quite remarkable. And if you want to jump on, we'll put that vision of him celebrating the win with his friends in the mounting yard of Cheltenham, in the middle of the Cheltenham Festival. We'll put that up on the RSN website as well. That's it for me today. I hope you've enjoyed the show. We had plenty to talk about in regards to the Golden Slipper. We'll continue to count down to the Slipper. Don't forget, the barrier draw takes place in around about an hour's time. We'll bring you those barriers on winners with Nadia. Tomorrow, We will also begin to count down to the Group 1 William Reid at Moonee Valley on Friday night. It's the culmination of the Friday night series. And because of that, we will get the boss of the Valley, Michael Brown, in the studio from 9 o'clock as well as plenty of other interviews with trainers and jockeys. Hope you've enjoyed the show today. Back a winner. I'll be back from 8:30 tomorrow.